Let us now prepare our hearts and minds to hear God's word as we pray. Sovereign God, let your word rule in our hearts and your spirit govern our lives until, at last, we see the fulfillment of your realm of justice and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading is Psalm 100, and you can find that on page 937 in your Pew Bible or in one of your technological smartphones. I'm sure you can find it there. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Good morning. I'd like to introduce myself because I always think everybody knows me. And then I remember I'm not that important. So no, not everyone knows me. My name is Carly Pound. As was mentioned earlier, I am currently a missionary with Firm Foundation in Christ Ministries. I grew up here in the church, served here as the youth pastor. I served as a youth pastor for about 23 years before I took this position in missions. And just to clarify the confusion, I live in San Antonio, Texas. I work out of Portland, Oregon, and I travel to Africa. So if you're like, well, where are you? Nobody knows, because even I don't know where I am at any given time. So when you're like, where are you these days? That is the confusion. I live in San Antonio, work out of Portland, travel to Africa. Just send me a text and I'll figure it out. And if I don't know where I am, that means I just got back from Africa, because that's when my brain quits working. So this morning, our second reading is from 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. So, first of all, I want to thank you guys for your support as I do missions. Last time I came and spoke here, I shared a lot about what was happening with FFICM, Firm Foundation in Christ Ministries, and I shared the stories of how I got there, which was the support of you. Well, I have been laughing all week because it has not escaped me that it is an important thing that I am preaching on Father's Day. When women are not told that they can be pastors, I am preaching on Father's Day. When we try to get women in the pulpit on Mother's Day, I am preaching on Father's Day. And so that is a big deal to me. And I have been thinking about that a lot this week. And a lot of that is because of the support of my own father, who has raised me up, who has supported me in everything I do. The other is the support of my dads of this church. I've always had a great relationship with my dad, and I've always been grateful for that. But in addition to him, I've always had extra dads that I could pick everyone out for different seasons of my life and reasons in my life, of men who have supported me to the point where I always joked about, oh, you've got to meet my dads. And it's like 20 men telling people. But I'm also fully aware that not everybody has that gift. Not everybody has a good relationship with their father or has men who have fed into their lives and have supported them. So when we talk about God the Father today, I want to be really clear that we're talking about God, that the goodness of God, the love of God. And if you have a bad relationship with your father, do not let that skew the love of God. that when we talk about the Father, the love of God, that God loves you in a way that a human father never could. So I get really sensitive about that, giving Mother's Day and Father's Day sermons, because I'm fully aware not everyone has healthy relationships. But don't let that separate you from what God is telling you today and what God is saying when he says he has lavished his love upon you. So when I'm reading 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, a few key things stand out. And that's that number one, is that you are loved by God. We see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. So before anything, you are loved by God. As I was reading this verse over and over, preparing for this sermon, I suddenly had flashbacks to singing this as a song, and I couldn't figure out where it was from, and I'm convinced it was from the old school HPC campouts from when I was in young elementary school. And I'm not going to sing it to you, but I hope I can get it in your head that you'll sing it to yourselves. The behold what manner the love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. And we would sing it in a round, and that's the only place that I can think of singing this song was around a campfire on church campouts. If I'm wrong, I apologize, but I think this is a core memory. Behold what manner the love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. So it amazes me how many times in life I've sung about God loving us, and I've talked about God loving us, but I've also found that it is the hardest thing for me to take into my daily life. That it's really easy for me to sit here and tell you, God loves you. And I've sat with youth over the years, God loves you. But one day I remember sitting and telling a child that God loves them and having that realization that God loves me the same way, and I've never accepted it. That I've never really thought about that and sat in that of I am loved just like you are loved. So today I want to challenge you guys to start with that. To think, God loves me. If you have to fill in your name there, fill in your name. But I want you to stop thinking God loves you and turn that to God loves me. That all the times that you have preached God loves you, turn it God loves me. Zephaniah 3:17 has become one of my favorite verses over the last few years. And it says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. God delights in you. God takes pride in you. He finds joy in the things that bring you joy. So what is it that you love to do? God delights in that. Think of that word delight. What does it mean to delight? And I asked this question this week on Facebook and got some really good answers. And one I just have to share was from someone who used to go to church here who lives in Washington now. She said she delights in cooking. And she made the best pomegranate brownies that she would bring for youth things. That as soon as she said that, I was like, I take delight in those brownies. I remember those brownies and that delights me too. But when I hear the word delight, I think of a child. And when you hear a child laugh, and like think about the children in your life when you have heard them laugh uncontrollably over something silly, that it's something, you know, people always talk about how my kid laughed over a bottle, like whatever it is. Well, recently I went camping in Texas for the second time in my life. And there's a reason it's only the second time in my life, because camping in Texas is awful. Like it is hot. There is no campfire. So why are you camping if you can't have a campfire? It makes no sense to me. I'm sorry, Mom. I know you grew up there, but bring me to the Northwest any day. But one thing I did find that I delighted in while we were camping was a culture that we don't take delight in here is just sitting in a river floating. Because here the water is cold. There, you don't even notice it because it's so hot. And while we were floating, we were in this one little area of the river. These two little boys had clearly gotten away from their parents and found a rope swing, which Everybody that has watched little boys grow up away from their parents, you can see where this is going, because I think I have memories of this on some church campouts as well. But these two boys started discovering they could climb the hill, get the rope swing out and back, and they couldn't get in trouble because mom and dad weren't around. And these boys were laughing it up and having the time of their lives as they would swing out and swing back. Great one! High five! And go a little higher. And my friend and I were watching this going, is nobody going to stop them? Should we step in? But it was such a fun moment hearing them giggle and laugh as they were delighting in what they were doing. Because they were delighted, we were delighted. We just had the 20 minutes of pure bliss watching these two boys. So when I think of delight, I think of those boys. If God delights in us the same way we were delighting in those boys, God delights in you. He takes joy in you. He is cheering you on. He is high-fiving you. He loves what you love. What great love the Father has lavished on you that you would be called children of God. God delights in you. God loves you. It's the big things you do, the little things you do. It's the things delight. And delight can mean so many things. So what is that? But remember, God delights in you. Secondly, I'm captured by the image that we will recognize God because we have become like him and will see him as he is. No, this does not mean that we are becoming gods, but it means that we are becoming like God. We are reflecting God's character. I've heard it said a couple times that if you get married and you're married long enough, you start to look like your spouse. And looking around this room, I think that's accurate. I've also heard it said that sometimes people will start to look like their pets. I don't think I look like my dog, but I think we act a lot alike. So I think that's pretty accurate too. But my best friend and I became friends in 2001 working at summer camps. We spent a whole summer traveling to a different camp each week all over the Northwest and Alaska. And through that time, we spent so much time together that we started to take on each other's mannerisms. So even the hand gestures I use today, I attribute to her. We use the same mannerisms. We start to talk the same. We start to sound the same. This was in 2001. And a few years ago, I had somebody meet her, and they said, wow, you guys really, you have the same mannerisms and talk the same. And it has been over 20 years since we had that summer together. We have not lived in the same state. We have not spent more than a couple weeks together at a time. But because we spent so much time together, we started to look like that it has led into our whole lives. So when we start to grow closer to someone, we start to look like them. And as great as it is to take on the mannerisms of my best friend, how much greater is it to take on the mannerisms of God, to take on the character of God, to take on the beauty of God? So what do we really want to look like? As we draw closer to God, we should start looking more like him. We should be taking on his characteristics, like we take on the characteristics of those we're around. How much more should we look like Christ? The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What does it mean to look like Christ? This leads me to one of my other favorite passages in the Bible, Philippians 2, chapter 2, Philippians 2, verses 1 through 13 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. These are the qualities that we want to take on from God: humbleness, servanthood. This is what we want to look like, that people will know God's love because they experience the love of God through us. And lastly, our hope is in God. We are purified through him. Everyone who has hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Our hope is in God. We want to reflect God, to follow his teachings, and to love as God loved. Everything we do should be a reflection of God and of God's love, because people are watching, and as we know, more than ever, people are critiquing everything we do, especially as Christians. Years ago, I was given a doctor's appointment at 7:30 in the morning on a Monday. It was very odd because when I got to the appointment, it turns out the office opens at 8 on a Monday. So I have no clue why I got a 7:30 appointment, but they said, okay, just sit here and wait. So I listened to the receptionist come in and get their day started, and there was a conversation that I will never forget, and I've probably shared it here before because it was so impactful to me. The two women were talking, and the one woman said, oh yeah, I went to the grocery store yesterday, and you will not believe what happened. This woman cut me off, and she was dressed in her finest clothes coming straight from church, and just started to yell at me and cuss me out. And I thought, oh my gosh, don't ask me what I do, because we're getting such a bad rep right now. But it impacted me, because her image of Christians was that someone who's going to dress up, go to church on Sunday, come home, and cuss somebody out in the grocery store to flip the bird on the way home on the highway. And my question is, how often do we do that? That this is the thing we check off in the morning, but doesn't really change who we are. And so that hearing that conversation really made me sit and think, does this change who I am? On a Sunday morning, am I bettering myself? Am I growing closer to God that I then am going and showing that love of God? Or am I ignoring everything and just treating people terribly? Now, I like to believe most of us are changing and moving in that love. But it does make me think every day. I have to question myself. Am I showing God's love? Am I reflecting God's love? It had made me so sad to hear this conversation that I held it close to my heart, and I started thinking about when that was, and it's probably been about 20 years since I heard that conversation. But it's something that we hear all the time. I mean, as a missionary, I'm often, when people say, oh, what do you do? I get really scared to tell them because I know it has such a bad reputation because people assume so many things. But when I show them the love of God first and then tell them what I do, there's a little bit more, I don't know if compassion is the right word, but they're willing to listen to what I'm saying, because it's not just I'm here to convert you, but it's I'm here to do life. I want to show you the love of God. My goal in life is to show you that God loves you. It's not something I have to do. It's something I like to do. Because I love God, I love others. So when someone finds out I'm a Christian, are the words and actions that I've said or done, are they going to help Christ, or are they going to hurt Christ? 1 John is one of my favorite books of the Bible, and it's all about God's love for us and how we should love others. We don't love because we're told to, but it's something that we choose to do. We love because it's a reflection of God. Because I like how God loves me and treats me, I want to do the same for others. That God is my rock, he builds me up, he encourages me every day, he gives me high fives, even if I'm not on a rope swing. He's giving me high fives and cheering me on, saying, woo! Am I doing that for others? Am I showing that love? So I want to ask you this. How have you experienced God's love recently? And what does it mean for you to reflect that love to others? What does it mean for you to share that same love with others? How does that look in your daily life? Because everybody here has a different sphere of influence. Everybody here has a different life. But the love that God gives you is reflected into those around you. Each day we wake up and we make a decision. How will I love God and how will I love others today? And each day is a new day. So if yesterday you were the woman at the grocery store that was yelling at somebody, which I don't see anybody here doing, thank the Lord, but if that was you and you had a bad day, that was yesterday. Today's a new day. There's a grace in that, that God takes that from us and gives us a new hope. God gives us love. So go and be the love. We have the gift of getting to show the world God's love. And it takes me back to one final song, that they will know we are Christians by our love. So how are we reflecting God? How are we showing that love? And how are you taking that into the world today? My prayer is that your face continues to reflect the love of God, that when we get so close to God, we can't help but to show that reflection to those around us. We take on those mannerisms. We take on those characteristics and show the world that God is love and that they are loved. Let's pray. God, I thank you for loving us. I thank you that because you loved us first, we get to love others. And Lord, because we are here today loving you, that we are here to worship you, to give you thanks, to give you praise, I pray that you will continue to work in us and help us to show that to the world around us. Lord, we know there's people in our lives every day who are feeling discouraged. Help us to encourage them. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the things that you've given us that we can take delight in, and we also are so grateful that you take delight in those too. Lord, help us when it's hard to feel loved to know that you delight in us, that you love us. Lord, may we sit in that love today, and may we share that love today. In your name we pray, amen.